Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer, of Day's Analysis. As I'm on the road doing a mass podcast tour, hopefully you got a chance to check out the bomb interview that we did with the Hodge twins as we went really deep into the history of the geopolitical setting as it is now. We got into the history of Zionism, British Empire, all those subjects that I love to cover. And, you know, on my channel, we've been covering lately the recent book from the global elite called The Old Boys, right? Burton Hirsch's book, The Old Boys, The Origins of the OSS and the CIA. And as you may recall, the origins are not what you would think. It's not James Bond. It's not spy stuff. It's not assassinations, although that does exist. It's actually a little more boring than that. It's bankers and Wall Street. That's the origins of the OSS and CIA. Not as sexy as you thought. It's more of a boring business thing, but they do have divisions of black ops and assassinations. We're going to talk about that today, how that occurs. And we're going to understand exactly how the U.S. linked up with the Israeli side of things. We know this wasn't really a big thing back in the early days of the U.S. Obviously, Israel wasn't a nation yet, although there were Jewish people, of course. But how did the intelligence establishment become closer and closer aligned with Israel and Israeli interests? And that's what we're going to talk about today as we figure out and pinpoint the specific characters in intelligence history in the CIA who formed this major alliance, moving away from certain Arab alliances, moving away from other countries, kind of like the British Empire did, trying to form alliances at times with Sunnis, with various tribes in the Middle East after Sykes-Picot to divide it up to create the Middle East as we know it today with Israel, with the Gulf states, etc. All of that was a product of the British Empire. As we know, we covered that for countless times over the last few years. But a lot of people, most people, have no idea how the OSS and the CIA came to be. And they still probably don't think of it as this entity that has a massive amount of influence throughout the entire Western Hemisphere, throughout the entire world, you could say. When we look at these other countries and the revolutions that occur, when we look at what happens in Iran, that couldn't happen without the intelligence establishment, the breakaway national security state being there to arrange and organize these situations. In fact, when I had a recent debate that's got a lot of traction on YouTube and Twitter, I debated a sort of leftist person, Brian Shapiro, and we got really deep into the history of this kind of stuff, because for the normie left mind or the left-ish person, they don't think that there is such a thing as the deep state. Even though the New York Times wrote an article, thank God for the deep state, because that would supposedly save us from populism. And at that time, of course, Trump was seen as the image of populism. Trump's not doing the things that are that popular right now, and there's a lot of reaction to that. But how do we get into the situation where there's this cabal, this oligarchy, this structure above the politicians that really controls things? People still think that it's the politicians that run everything. Now, they have obviously a good deal of influence, but politicians answer to not just lobbyists, but steering committees and to people above them. And there's people above the intelligence agencies, the NSC, those kinds of entities that were created, the National Security Council, to manage the intelligence agencies. There's people that created those. Where do they come from? Why do they have so much power? How come we can't just stop the foreign wars or whatever's going on with the Fed, the Federal Reserve, all that? Well, there's this entrenched bureaucracy of a deep state, which we've heard about for many, many years. It's a term that actually goes back to the 2000s. It was coined by Peter Dale Scott in a lot of his older critiques of the neocons and the CIA and their operations. He coined that term probably 20, 25 years ago, the deep state. And it was coined in the context of things like Operation Gladio, things like Iran-Contra, the funding of terror in other countries. That's the real origins of the term, the deep state. But who is it? Who makes it up? Well, we're about to find out here in a moment as we get into Burton Hirsch's text, The Old Boys. And remember, this isn't a conspiracy book. He's a key member of the Council on Foreign Relations, writing another history of their organization.
I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine. Nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria, the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available at galaxystore.com. The very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade, ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the InfoWar, but more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you got to do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. TheAlchemistStore.com to get T3, now available, and methylene blue at TheAlchemistStore.com.
Unveiling the truth they don't want you to see. This is The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We're covering Burton Hirsch's amazing text, The Old Boys. This was a book written in 1992 from the histories of the Council on Foreign Relations archives, from their kind of private history, much like Dr. Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope. And amazingly, within the first chapter, if you recall, he admits that the key figures of the 20th century are people like John Maynard Keynes, Walter Lippmann, Jean Monnet, one of the key founders of the EU, and the Fabian socialist elites working at the behest of the Rothschilds to set up the Federal Reserve banking system in the United States under Woodrow Wilson through their legate, Colonel Edwin Mandel House. And if you want to think about legates kind of like that, well, you could think of somebody like Jeffrey Epstein as a recent legate, very similar to the roles and the patterns of action that we see with Epstein and Colonel Edwin Mandel House. Epstein had a role as a kind of organized crime networking figure, kind of a PhD in organized crime. And amongst these characters, they populated, these early Fabian socialists populated the Inquiry, which is the pre-OSS World War I era network of intelligence operatives, academics, etc. But by the time of World War II, which is where we left off last time when we covered this book, there were actually quite a few members of the OSS and CIA that came from Wall Street. As Wall Street began to be more and more prominent, as people perfected the techniques of advertising, you had many people who went from banking and Wall Street directly into intelligence work, and vice versa. When the war ended, they went from the OSS back into working at banks. In fact, the key members of the early days of the CIA, many of them were actually just bankers and Rockefeller representatives. For example, William Stevenson, Wild Bill Donovan, were legates and attachés of the Rockefellers. Jeffrey Epstein was a legate or attaché of the Rockefellers, is what he admits in the Bannon interview. He tells Steve Bannon, he says, I work for David Rockefeller. They brought me in to the Council on Foreign Relations when I was 30. So he's working for Rockefeller as an attaché. That's not different than working for the Rothschilds. In fact, those families combined their fortunes years ago, that was in mainstream news, to work together to kind of be a super intelligence making establishment that would really run the Western world. And this is why things don't change, is that we continually ignore this and we get distracted with the political WWF wrestling, picking your team. Now, I'm not saying that that makes everybody who's a conservative bad or every Democrat. It's more of an issues thing. It's not a cult of personality thing. But the establishment knows, the social engineers know, that we get really attached to the individuals. And so then when Trump does something that's unpopular, people get disheartened and they get let down. But the whole thing about what we stand on is principle. We don't stand on the cult of personality. And that's why it's really important to stick to the issues and stick to your guns rather than getting caught up in the drama. And every politician is going to do things that you disagree with. That's part of politics. And really, again, this points to the fact that it's going to take more than one politician or one president or one person to actually change things or move the Overton window. We've actually seen quite a bit of positive action in the last several years, moving back towards getting rid of some of the censorship, moving in the direction of beginning to understand good sound money with gold or Bitcoin, moving in the direction of getting away from atheism and nihilism and all this nonsense and getting back to the idea of God's existence, et cetera. So we begin to see the Overton window moving back in the right direction, but the establishment will always use all the same tricks, all the same social engineering, all the same fake flags, a war, a crisis event. Those are their key things that distract, deracinate, and demoralize the public. And that's essentially what we're seeing now is a lot of demoralization because people are disheartened. A lot of people are angry with the rift in MAGA, but this is not necessarily a bad thing. We need to actually have these issues come to the fore and figure out, do we want to do everything that Israel wants to do? Do we want to chart our own course, right? And how do we get into this? How do we get in this situation? Again, we said that, well, it's these breakaway intelligence people that are really pulling the strings in the background, and they're doing it at the behest of the bankers. This is everything that we saw with Epstein in the Bannon interview. He tells Bannon, I work for David Rockefeller. I'm his attaché. He tells Peter Thiel in the emails, you realize I represent the Rothschilds. I'm their attaché, legate, etc. So he's a mouthpiece, the mouth of Sauron, right? And this structure was set up a long time ago, certainly with the Rothschilds and the Cecil Rhodes Trust and all that. But after World War II, you had a secret banking network that was established. And this was known at that time as the Schroeder Reichsbank BIS. The Bank for International Settlements was originally the Reichsbank. And after World War II, the Nazi gold and the money that had been funneled to support Hitler by Western banking interests was done through the secretive bank, the BIS. That's not the only secretive bank in the world. In fact, remember, Jeffrey Epstein sent an email to Larry Summers explaining that the Vatican Bank was one of the other major secretive banks in the world that was great for money laundering and secret black ops projects, et cetera. That was all Operation Gladio. And I want to thank Harrison Smith, because when we were on with Harrison last week on his show, we had a great conversation, and he brought up this declassified notion or this title of Eagle 2, which I had not heard of. And when I watched Harrison's video that I think I reshared on my Twitter, if you want to see that, go to my ex, Jay Dyer on X. I attained the handle just Jay Dyer, got rid of that stupid old handle that I had that confused everybody, because I didn't realize I would be doing this type of media when I created that handle. So thankfully, I have my own name, so you can just follow me on X at Jay Dyer. I constantly do a lot of political satire. We do a lot of geopolitical analysis. We stick to the hardcore edutainment, infotainment material. We also do a lot of debates. I have a debate coming up today, in fact, with a Black Hebrew Israelite cult leader. That will be on Cooley's channel, the No Fugazi podcast, today on YouTube over at his YouTube channel. And we'll be debating Black Hebrew Israelite cult theology versus Orthodox Christianity. Now, to get back to the rise of the banking elites, one thing we should understand is that ecumenism and the push for a global world religion, which most of the Western Protestant organizations are all a part of, the Vatican has signed on to this, unfortunately, in the last several decades, promoting the World Council of Churches, new National Council of Churches ideology, which was founded and funded and started by the Rockefellers. Many people coming out of the Cold War, especially Cold War boomers, they think of this as something that was only a Soviet playground. Now, there were many Soviets in the National Council of Churches and World Council of Churches, but this is one of those entities, organizations that set up to be a pre-United, or a kind of a, like a United Nations before religion. So they will allow both Western intelligence and Soviet and socialist, Marxist, Fabian socialists, all of those were allowed to kind of have a playground there at the WCC and the NCC. But keep in mind that the entire time, this is funded and propped up by the Rockefellers, not propped up by Moscow. But just like after the Cold War, if you remember, Gorbachev came to San Francisco and helped set up a new age globalist organization in San Francisco. So there's nothing necessarily antithetical between the Soviet idea of Soviet cosmism and their version of transhumanism, and Western international socialism and its version of communism. Remember, many of these early elites mentioned in the Burton Hirsch book are just the Fabian socialist elites as legates and frontispieces of the Rothschilds for the last 100 years. H.G. Wells, Bertrand Russell, Keir Starmer, they all have the same Fabian socialist ethos. Their primary economist is John Maynard Keynes of Keynesian money printing economic fame. He's exactly why the money system in the entire post-Bretton Woods World War II world is the way it is. Because universally, it was accepted at the globalist institutions that Keynesianism would be the economics of the entire Western world. It is not an Austro-economic capitalist free market enterprise. It is, in fact, a Fabian socialist top-down capital control structure known as, you could say, corporatism, or you could say monopoly capitalism. They're really the same thing. But I found it very fascinating that Burton Hirsch notes that the World Council of Churches was used even back in World War II to promote socialism against the Reich, against Tiny Mustache Man's version of socialism. And as I read on in the later chapters in the book, they were actually tapping OSS spies and operatives all throughout the World Council of Churches for decades. For example, there was a woman named Emmy Rado. I'd never even heard of her, but she was a spy who was recruited, I think, by Frank Wisner, the mighty Wurlitzer Wisner, master propagandist Frank Wisner. And he tapped World Council of Churches operative Emmy Rado to recruit operatives and to do agitprop and essentially propaganda against the Soviets, because this was at the beginning of the 1940s and 50s, the beginning of the Cold War, ramping up against Stalin and the NKVD. So they were already utilizing this globalist created institution, the World Council of Churches, in the 1940s for espionage and for soft power, agitprop, etc. If you remember in the giant Johann Rothschild book that we covered about the Milner-Fabian conspiracy, he also notes that it was British intelligence who had essentially set up the first head of the World Council of Churches, Wim Visert Hooft. I think he's a Dutch dude. I know with a name like that, you think, oh, he's got to be Nigerian, he's got to be African. No. Wim Visert Hooft is definitely probably Nigerian. I'm joking. He's definitely a Dutch. Now, when we talk about the Bank for International Settlements, that was essentially the German clearinghouse bank that was funding and getting the money to Tiny Mustache Man through the Schroeder Bank for the Reich. And so when people say there's no evidence that Western banking elites funded Tiny Mustache Man, that is made up, he is a hero, that's coming from the Council of Foreign Relations people who are looking at the BIS archives. So that's where they're getting it. And one of the key funders and users of the BIS was J.P. Morgan. And J.P. Morgan was a Rothschild attaché cut out in America. People think, oh, the Rothschilds, they didn't really have banking power in America. No, they did have banking power in America. It was their front called J.P. Morgan Chase. Now, as we move through the early chapters, first 100 pages, he notes that British intelligence was completely behind the establishment of the OSS and the CIA. The OSS would become the CIA, right? So the early version of a secret team, which was the Black Ops division of British intelligence, was known as X2. X2 was the special intelligence or the secret intelligence branch involved in espionage, assassinations, false flags. And one of the key figures that would come out of the American version of X2, because British intelligence, when they came over here, they set up in Canada and in America the intelligence structure that would become what we know of as the OSS and CIA today. But they created also divisions. And, for example, the British had during World War II the Special Operations Executive. This is what Ian Fleming was involved in, doing these operations that would, in many ways, influence the James Bond stories. But the secret team, if you remember Colonel Fletcher Prouty's book, Secret Team, which is very influential in terms of JFK and, say, Oliver Stone's theories about JFK. A lot of that comes out of books like Colonel Fletcher Prouty's The Secret Team, who was a part of this CIA secret team. That's based on X2. Right. And again, it sounds like X-Men comic book stuff, and that's kind of what it is, or at least the comic books are based on this stuff. Now, during World War II, I thought this was funny. The Mealy Mouth Believe Nothing Unitarian Universalist Church was actually used by the OSS to run espionage operations. I thought that was classic, right? What better thing to use than something innocuous like the nowadays, you know, trans-promoting Unitarian Universalist Church? Their relief organization was really just an OSS cutout. So again, are you noticing a pattern here? War Council of Churches used by the OSS, CIA used by British intelligence and used by Soviets. Unitarian Universalist relief operations used by the OSS. This is page 100. Starting to notice a pattern of these religious organizations being cutouts. And yet, who knows and thinks about religious organizations as cutouts? Not many people. Although everybody kind of thinks about this when they think of church in Russia during the Cold War.
Well, that's about the KGB people. That's all the KGB.
The goober, everybody knows this. The goober boomers think of this as, oh, it's a KGB. Oh, but what about all the gay CIA churches in the West? Does that exist? Now, one of the excuses that was used for the globalist institutions about, you know, global economic stuff, WEF, the World Bank, the IMF, the United Nations, World Council Churches. It's always the same excuse. If we don't set up a global institution that runs everything, the Soviets will. The bad guys will. If we don't run the crime in the black markets, the bad guys will. So wait a minute. If we don't run the bad guys, stop. If we don't be the bad guys will be bad guys. Right. This is, and you hear, always hear Alex saying this, that, you know, when he was a kid, his dad talked about how Brzezinski told him that the West, the CIA, they also run the drug black market stuff, because if we don't, the bad guys will. So then who are the bad guys? What are you talking about? As we mentioned, though, a key alliance that was necessary during World War II was the alliance between the OSS and the CIA eventually and the Vatican. And this was all solidified by key characters like, well, Bill Donovan, himself a traditional Catholic, sort of, although he was an ecumenist, which doesn't make much sense, but who knows? Who cares about being consistent? James Jesus Angleton, key figure coming out of X2 or the American X2, the Operation and Policy Coordination, which was the innocuously named Black Ops organization modeled on the British X2 Black Ops organization. Well, it turns out they're going to be the ones that formed the alliance with the Vatican and with another important Middle Eastern country that you might have heard of. James Jesus Angleton, the Israeliophile, forms a crucial alliance. Guess what? That also came out in the JFK files, didn't it? Yeah, it did. Now, if you know post-World War II, the Morgenthau Plan was set up to brainwash and control Germany, and they created re-education camps to make Germany an agricultural state rather than a engineering powerhouse. At the same time, as the tiny mustache man people lost World War II, there were secret networks still in place and banking structures still in place that allowed money to be hidden, to be stashed, and to be laundered and sent to unknown places. Some of that we don't even know today where it went. But many people think there was a connection between the relationship that Alan Dulles of CIA fame, also of Council on Foreign Relations fame, that he formed with the Vatican early on, like Donovan and like Colby and like Angleton, that he formed this Dulles-Vatican alliance under Pius XII, together with L.L. Lemnitzer of Operation Northwoods fame and former Grand Commander Head of NATO. In other words, that's false flags. Okay. And that's also Gladio. OSS-CIA said, we've got to work together with the papacy. We've got to set up this alliance. And this, again, is where we get the intimate connection between the Vatican and the Western intelligence apparatus and superstructure. Now, Angleton says, now that World War II is happening, we're going to go into this Cold War, or is done, and we're going to go into this Cold War. According to Hirsch, it was full-scale Cold War only by 1945, even though they'd already kind of had these national security memoranda that were beginning to kick off World War, the Cold War. Angleton has this interesting idea that certain networks must be tapped. And I'm going to get to the really fascinating figures that he mentions, but one of those that you might not expect, three of these you might not expect. All three of these are going to, I think, surprise you, because if you buy my new book, by the way, I have a section on this in my new book, Esoteric Hollywood 3, signed copies at jaysanalysis.com in the shop. Over 1,000 pages now that I've written from a infotainment, edutainment, somewhat scholarly but readable perspective for you to understand how real the movies actually are. Predictive programming, you saw, for example, last week, Roger Avery, Pulp Fiction fame, Quentin Tarantino, right? Quentin Tarantino. You saw Roger Avery of Quentin Tarantino fame come out and say, hey, Hollywood is predictive programming. It's revelation of the method. It's real. I couldn't believe that he said that on Joe Rogan. One of the top, the co-writer maker of the biggest, one of the biggest movies of all time. Because, yeah, of course, Hollywood's a pretty, I wrote the book on this 10 years ago. Esoteric Hollywood 1 came out 10 years ago, 2016, on predictive programming. And here you have top of Hollywood saying, oh, yeah, Jay Dyer was right. I mean, he didn't mention my name. But he's saying, like, yeah, that's what it is. I wrote over 1,000 pages on this in the last 10 years. So I feel vindicated. I'm about to pop my collar. Ever since I can remember popping my collar, I'm popping my collar now that I'm vindicated, dog. Now, Carl Jung. Everybody knows Carl Jung, right? You've all heard of Jordan Peterson, I think, right?
No. Well, you know, it's like Carl Jung, you know. It's like you get in there with the archetypes, you know, and then you dig around in there and you find a bunch of muck underneath the bed. There's gummy bears. You know, there's old chicken nuggets or who knows, but that's actually your soul down there, you know. It's like, are you going to find your dad under the bed? I don't know. Bloody hell, you know.
Jordan Peterson is the new Carl Jung, right? Literally says that I am a new, you know, teacher of the Jungian archetypal ethos. Well, guess what? Carl Jung worked for the OSS. Do you know he was a spy? He was Agent 488, OSS Agent 488. And the communiques between Carl Jung and Alan Dulles have all been declassified. And that this book hints at this, even though this book was written before those things, I think, were declassified. You can kind of read between the lines and say, hey, it turns out, no, Tiny Mustache Man was not working with Carl Jung. Many people thought that Carl Jung was a devotee of the Tiny Mustache Man. No, he was actually working explicitly to provide intelligence to Alan Dulles and the OSS during World War II. Now, I've got some awesome insights and revelations coming up that you're going to, I think, find to be delectable little dainties of information. But don't go anywhere. This is the Alex Jones Show, and I am Jay Dyer, and I will be right back.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document. The potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Darius Rucker of Hootie and the Blowfish. Jay Dyer of JaysAnalysis.com. Guys, look, I know a lot of y'all listen to this. A lot of y'all are out there and you just sit. I want you to take action because I'm almost at 200,000 subscribers on YouTube, and if all of y'all took some action and got a little sassy and decided to get up and get me to 200,000, look at that. I'm almost at 200,000. You know how hard I've worked on YouTube to try to get the 200,000 against censorship, against demonetization for 5 years, against the algorithm? So go subscribe to me, please, on YouTube. Help me get to 200K. I'm so close, bro. And who else does a Jordan Peterson like that? In the midst of all these other impressions, singing the 666 Mafia song. Then I go to Jordan Peterson. Then I go to whoever. Nobody else does that. Lecturing through 600-page books. Come on now. Who else is doing this other than Alex Jones? Not that many people. So you got to support us. I saw Coinbase sending out messages for sports betting. And a bunch of y'all out there wasting your time sports betting? Dude, what? You need to get engaged in the real battle, not stupid ass sports betting, wasting your money on sports betting. What a scam, dude. But look, I know the economy is bad. I know people are hurting. So they think, oh, I'll go bet on the sports hole.
if I put my money on the black dude team versus the black dude team, because they run in circles really fast and they sweat a lot, I'll make a lot of money on Sports Hole. It's a waste of your time. It's all social engineering anyway. By the way, we just did some awesome podcasts that are going to drop soon. Kurt Metzger, Sam Tripoli, Ubi Petras, Jamie Kennedy. Big podcast dropping soon. Now, we were talking about the World War II networks and the establishment of the breakaway national security superstructure. And guess what? This character of James Jesus Angleton decided that after World War II, after forming the Vatican Alliance, and he was in Rome at the CIA's Rome desk, or OSS-CIA Rome desk, as it became the CIA, they got much more sophisticated, got much more funding, they got much more streamlined and set up a bunch of different divisions dedicated to Black Ops. And you got to fund Black Ops. Well, again, go watch Eagle 2, which was the video breakdown, that excellent breakdown from Harrison Smith on this topic of secret funding. And of course, at the top of that was Rothschilds. And that's exactly what Gladio, Vatican Bank, and this book are talking about. That they didn't know the term, they weren't using the name, but this is all the same thing. It's referencing the same operations and how these breakaway security state apparatchiks were set up. In fact, it was funny that when the CIA was actually set up, when it was first birthed out of the OSS, this was memorandum JCS-1181, the birth of the CIA. You may have heard of Father Coughlin. Y'all remember this fiery Roman Catholic, Irish Roman Catholic priest back in the day that used to have a pretty heated radio show. And he was, I think, part of America First back then, which was, let's not get involved in foreign entanglements. Let's not get involved in World War II, all this kind of stuff. Father Coughlin's radio broadcast was very popular and was broadcast out to many Protestant and Catholic listeners. And interestingly, on the broadcast, Coughlin said the New Deal coming out of the, you know, FDR New Deal. New Deal has plans to set up a spy organization to spy on Americans. It's a super Gestapo agency under consideration. This is what Father Coughlin was reading out to his listeners. And he said, a key member setting this up, this is something you don't ever hear, was Fabian socialist judge Felix Frankfurter. Now, I knew that Felix Frankfurter was a Fabian socialist Supreme Court judge, but I didn't know that he had this intimate connection with the establishment of the transition from OSS to CIA, but that's exactly what he says here. And this is also where, right at the same time, Dulles sets up Operation Sunrise, which is secret meetings occurring in Europe between the OSS and the tiny mustache man elites. And who's organizing these meetings? Wall Street. Wall Street, Dulles, and the tiny mustache man people. And again, as we said, not too long after this, the OSS is converting into becoming the CIA, much more streamlined, sophisticated, funded operation. And who's running that? Bankers, CEOs, Avril Harriman, Alan Dulles, Bill Donovan, John McCloy. And they all decide that it's time for the Cold War. We got to scare the crap out of everybody with Stalin and his NKVD. And so if we're going to fight Stalin and the NKVD, we got to have a giant Fabian socialist, super secretive Gestapo to fight the Soviet NKVD. So are you noticing a pattern of the excuse says we got to do all this evil stuff because they'll do it. So we got to be evil to fight the evil. So the NSC, under the direction of Council on Foreign Relations members like John J. McCloy, set up the CIA. In fact, the earliest heads of the CIA, many of them were not just Fabian socialists, they were also members of the Council on Foreign Relations. So you see, these are not different groups. They're the same people in the same steering committees.
Now, they decided that the best place to tap for recruits would be universities like Notre Dame, Eastern Seaboard schools like Yale, Harvard, Princeton, and particularly out of the Skull and Bones, the secret society, because Skull and Bones then would become a kind of test tube, a petri dish to grow potential candidates for OSS and CIA operations to engage in the New World War of 1947, the World War. Excuse me, 1942 to 1947, kicking off with the Cold War. As we mentioned, this character, James Jesus Angleton, earlier, coming out of the X2 Special Operations Black Ops stuff, Angleton is appointed to the CIA desk in Rome, and he forges a close alliance with Pius XII, while also working with a pornographer named Vincent Scaparini. Scaparini, as a porn maker, was also working closely with and aligned with a lot of Vatican figures, and he would pass Vatican intelligence to Angleton. And Angleton decides, you know what? It's time, as we begin this Cold War, to forge all the alliances that we could with people that we think might not like Stalin. And prior to this, of course, the CIA, the OSS had a close relationship with Stalin, as you may know, out of World War II, against Tiny Mustache Man. And guess what? Reinhard Galen, the intelligence runner, establishment figure for what's called Galen Org, which was German intelligence throughout World War II that had set up their networks throughout Europe. It was a very efficient, very effective intelligence network. Well, when Galen was taken in by the West, by the CIA, they said, give us all your intelligence networks. You're going to work for us now. This becomes the BND. The German intelligence comes out of Galen Org and is essentially restructured then and run by the CIA and has been ever since, by the way. Remember Udo Ulfkotte, the German journalist from, I think, 10 years ago, went on RT in a bunch of interviews and said, the CIA still runs the media in Germany, and I'm tired of it. I don't want to promote the Vaz. And then Udo was not alive much longer after that. You can still find the interviews on YouTube. But this alliance between the Vatican, this cutout that they create called Pro Deo in Rome, it gives the idea to Angleton to say, you know what, there's also this agency called the Jewish Agency in the Middle East because of the waves of Jewish migrants and immigrants to the Middle East. They had begun to form this Jewish agency. He said, we're going to tap that for intelligence. So it's James Jesus Angleton that begins the close alliance between the CIA and what would become Israeli intelligence eventually. It's not yet Mossad, but at this point it's called Jewish Agency. This is also a bunch of proto, sort of pro, what we call Zionists today. I mean, Zionism goes back to the 1850s, 60s with Moses Hess, but at this time the intelligence structure there is called just called the Jewish Agency. And this is the idea that Angleton has to forge a close relationship. He says, I'm getting all of these Vatican, stolen Vatican intelligence reports, but the best idea for the future, Angleton says, was to also set up an intelligence network with the future Zionist state. So he had a projection that it was most likely the case that the UN would recognize Israel in 1948 after World War II, that they would set up a Jewish state, and that the CIA would have its best chance to put up a buffer against Stalin through this alliance with the Jewish Agency. Stalin also, of course, booted several rabbis and Jews, if you know this history, during the Cold War. And so many of those people fled to Israel. And that's why, for example, Putin said the other day that there are many Russian Jews in Israel. In fact, there's a ton. So his argument was, if he were to attack Israel, he would be attacking Russians, Russian Jews. So now, MI6 and French intelligence also worked closely with the Vatican. We always talk about Gladio and the CIA and the Vatican, but not many people talk about French intelligence and their networks working together with the Vatican, supposedly what? Against the Reds. Now, this is interesting because nobody knows about, except if you're Serbian, the creation of the, they're called Templars. This is kind of LARPy and crazy, but they actually did fight. They were called Templars underneath Dr. A. Pavlik, and they created an organization called the Ustasha. And the Ustasha are far-right, anti-Orthodox, tiny mustache man soldiers under this intermarium, it was called, of a network against the Soviets, but also they hated the Orthodox. And the Ustasha engage in attacks, engage in murder, engage in all kinds of things, supposedly to fight the communists. Now, I'm sure that to a degree they did fight the communists, but what's interesting about the analysis that Burton Hirsch gives, most people say, well, the Ustasha were just fascists that were, you know, basically against anybody who was Orthodox, anybody who was Russian, anybody who was Soviet. He says that the Ustasha were working in league with Pius XII's Vatican. Yugoslav refugee organizations stirred up the West with reports of rebels brewing amongst the opponents of Tito, who escaped into the forest. They were backed by growing discontent of the workers. A Ustasha-based anti-communist movement called the Crusaders claimed widespread sabotage and attacks. The Vatican was the center of this command. In fact, special agents, including operatives working out of the Vatican, all were exposed when this came out, because it turns out the Vatican had a huge role in this. And if you're Orthodox, it's not about Tito and the communists. Obviously, we would disagree. The communists persecute the Orthodox Church, Orthodox Christians as well. But the point is that, hey, wait a minute. Why is the Vatican supporting this military operation to kill Orthodox? And why did they beatify Cardinal, I always say his name wrong, Cardinal Stepanak. So the Vatican has beatified one of these massacre Ustasha people. But you can begin to see that, well, the Vatican is a giant intelligence operation. It's a banking geopolitical intelligence operation. It's not primarily a religious organization. Once you figure that out, that's like, okay, well, now I understand what the Vatican is. But that's important because that begins to forge the alliances and the superstructure that we still have today in the West, which explains why the Vatican pushes the World Economic Forum United Nations agenda. It's because at this time, they had become linked at the hip under the excuse of, well, tiny mustache man, but then mainly the Cold War. Well, if we're going to fight the communists, John Paul II, you got to be sharing intelligence with the CIA. You're going to have to be meeting with Kissinger, Colby, et cetera, regularly. And this goes back to Paul VI. Paul VI would meet with Kissinger regularly. Now, that's not just for diplomatic, you know, friendly, we're going to be friends reasons. That's because it's an intelligence operation. It's the Cold War. And the point is, well, so you're saying the communists are good? Every time I talk about this, low-tier dialectics comes to the fore. You think the communists are good, dude? No, no. What I'm saying is that if you want to understand why the Vatican has taken the course that it has today, this is why. Because it became subservient to these interests, to these Western intelligence globalist interests. If you want to understand why we do what Israel and Bibi Netanyahu would like in the Middle East, it's because of these intelligence alliances that were formed under James Jesus Singleton, as an example. Now, certainly there were different interests. There were Jewish interests in America prior to Angleton forming an alliance with the Jewish agency. I'm aware of all that. The Rothschilds, helped to found the modern nation state of Israel. And they had a huge amount of influence all the way back to World War I under Colonel Edwin Mandel House's influence on Woodrow Wilson and the establishment of the Federal Reserve. So, yeah, I understand that, but the growing emphasis and power in terms of foreign policy is solidified with these wartime Cold War intelligence alliances. That's what I'm saying. That's why you can't understand the modern world unless you understand this stuff. And so we have essentially in 1913 a Federal Reserve takeover of this network, this roundtable network. Only a few years later, you get the Rockefeller Foundation or the family setting up in the 1920s, the Council on Foreign Relations. That's the superstructure above the intelligence networks. That's where you get NSC, OSS, and CIA out of the CFR people. All the original heads were CFR people. That's based on the British intelligence roundtable groups. So we have essentially a Wall Street banking takeover of the country, basically 100 years ago or more. That's why the elections don't change things. That's why the Federal Reserve, the IRS, none of that ever changes or goes away. The politicians come and go. And I'm not saying that everything Trump did was bad, but there's limits to what one dude can do because there's a giant bureaucratic national security state that's in place that is so, it's organized like a giant organized crime onion. And Jeffrey Epstein is not the first Bond villain to be an organized crime PhD mastermind. Now, I think he was a sued. He wasn't a great philosophy mind. He wasn't some tech genius like he thought he was. He thought he was like a genius, like a savant at everything. But one thing he was good at was networking on organized crime structures. He was really good at figuring out the black markets and how to run those and to, you know, meet with heads of state and how to blackmail people and how to organize all that. Well, that's not new. Okay, Colonel Edwin Mandel House was doing that same thing 100 years ago. So we have a banking Wall Street takeover. And you can vote the rascals in and out every few years. But does that change things? I mean, it might have an influence if one politician can speak to enough of the masses, but the masses are unfortunately pretty dumb, and it takes a long time to pull the Overton window back. What does Osho say? The people are retarded. I mean, Osho's a cult leader, but at least, you know, cult leaders can be right, you know, like a clock. Now, we were talking about the takeover of the Nazi networks a minute ago. And when the Nazi networks were taken over, some of those figures immediately just wrapped over into working for Western intelligence and the CIA, like the Galen Org, Reinhard Galen, his whole organization of Nazi spies throughout Europe. And also, by the way, in the US, there were Nazi spies who had set up some espionage networks in America. Well, it turns out that another figure named Otto Skorzeny, who was a very adept rifleman and assassin for the SS. I think he was SS. If not, he was one of the top assassins for the Nazis. Well, he immediately went to work for the Mossad. Yes, you heard me correct. Otto Skorzeny, the famous Nazi assassin super soldier. I'm joking, not literally. Goes to work with and train the Mossad. Otto Skorzeny. It's even in mainstream Israeli news. The SS hitman who went to work and train the Mossad. And Reinhard Galen worked with the Mossad. So the CIA, British intelligence, and the former Nazis went and helped establish and set up Israel's intelligence apparatus and superstructure. Now, I say that to enrage all of the idiotic pagan Hitler worshipers out there who, when I was on with Alex 6 months ago, and I talked about the banking funding of Hitler and Hitler being a stooge and being a tool and being used as a pawn. And these people went insane on Twitter, just hundreds of thousands of, well, it got millions of views and just losing their mind. Well, I'm giving you another example of the absurdity of this with your SS heroes like Reinhard Galen and Oscar Zanin. Well, they're going to train and work with the Mossad. So how do you explain that, all you Hitler worshipers? So again, there's a higher level to this stuff. And to be, you know, so low tier as to sort of LARP as if you're going to resurrect Hitler and stuff like this online, it's just stupid. It's really kind of ignorant. But one interesting thing that I thought was funny in the later chapters when the OSS and the CIA were setting up their spy networks in Germany, in Austria, in Babelsbach? No, in, I forget the name of the city. Bayburg, Austria. They set up a spy hub inside of an old champagne warehouse. And then another cutout they set up was in a brothel in Romania. Frank Wisner, who had, apparently I didn't know this until I read this book. Frank Wisner, the mighty Wurlitzer propaganda master who was involved in Mockingbird. You might have heard of Operation Mockingbird. Well, it turns out Wisner set up a espionage operation in Romania out of Madame Niti's whorehouse. But I thought Western intelligence didn't do that stuff. I thought we didn't use, oh, well, they don't do it directly. They contract out to the madams and the whores. So you see, so it's not actually the CIA doing this thing. It's the CIA contracting out to Jeffrey Epstein. It's not the CIA. We don't do that. And the Western intelligence doesn't do these bad things. Well, they just contract it out to people like Jeffrey Epstein. So Frank Wisner, also a massive high-level Council on Foreign Relations member. He's the next age, the next era after the Dulles and the Donovans. The main figure becomes this character, Frank Wisner. And Wisner studied British censorship and intelligence, all that stuff that 1984 talks about, Eric Blair, Orwell talks about, that British intelligence was so adept at because they were Fabian socialists. That book is about Fabian socialism. Remember, he works in the Ministry of Information to censor. He edits history. He creates fake news. That's O'Brien. That's Winston's job in 1984, is to create fake news, right? Well, that technique was taught to Frank Wisner, who then set up our Operation Mockingbird to buy off thousands of journalists, or maybe it's hundreds of journalists throughout the world, so that the entire global Western media could be fake and gay back in the Cold War. And it was fake and gay since the Cold War. Now, guys, we go deep into this stuff. We go deep, homeboy, to quote Sam Tripoli. And we are covering this book right now. We're past halfway. And if you want to get access to information no one else covers, then subscribe to jasonalysis.com. The shop, 10 years of archives of books like this. We also debate the atheists, the Muslims, et cetera, you name it. Also go over to the store, the Alex Jones store, get those products and help Alex set up the Alex Jones Network. Follow me on X and on YouTube. This is Jay Dyer Updates.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game, or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue, or our bovine colostrum, or our CMOS, or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones.